Thank you, Don. Appreciate you picking that song. I just want to share some thoughts before the Lord's Supper. Just titled this, Our Lord Jesus in a Broken World. All of us in our own walk, in our own time, you know, our own struggles, and the compassion of our Lord Jesus in the midst of us, midst of that for us, and I praise him for that. Let's just ask you, Heavenly Father, as we ponder again to remember our Lord Jesus, that you would so, that the Spirit of God would so honor the Lord Jesus in our midst, in our own lives, in our own walk with him. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for what he's done in every one of our lives here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm kind of looking mostly at Luke 22 as the Lord Jesus was about to eat the Passover meal with his own and really establish the Lord's Supper there as we observe it, and as Paul then related to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians, that we do that as often as we do that in remembrance of him. And that's what he shared there. But it just strikes me that how important the Lord's Supper was to our Lord Jesus. And I would just share that verse in verse 15. He said unto his own, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The word really there is with intense desire, I've desired. It was so important to him. And I guess that's the thing that before we partake of the Lord's Supper today that I would just convey, that it's never something we should just do as something we go through a pattern. It's on the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ that he be remembered, that he would be honored for what he has done and what he has given. And just trying to brief this up, but there's two things that I just want to convey. And one is the reality of the broken world that Jesus Christ came into, first of all. We read in John 1 that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. We just read at the end of John 17, he said to the Father, Father, the world doesn't know you. He was in the world, it was made by him, it didn't know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But the wonderful truth is, as many as received him, to them gave he power to believe, to be children of God, even to them that believe on his name. But in spite of being confronting a broken world and people with struggles and a long ways to go sometimes to become more like him by the power of God's Spirit, in spite of that, his desire to be with us, his love for his own. And that's the thing I think I just really want to convey the truth of that in our lives. And so if you look in Luke 22, you see some of the struggles coming out with his own. He had, first of all, of course, Judas was right in the group, was going to betray him and sell him out. And so he had him walking with him. He also had him with him in John 13 and washing their feet. again, in that verse in John 15, and I put it in here, but as he was about to serve his own and to minister to them in that way, he said that he knew he was going to depart out of the world. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Then he picks up a towel and a basin, and he ministers to his people. people that had needs in their own life. And I think then the thing that stands out to me in chapter 22 is that they began in this setting to have a strife among themselves to who would be the greatest, who's going to be in charge. And he has to then again give them such an obvious lesson. He said, the kings of the Gentiles, that's the way they operate. Everybody's trying to climb up and be the greatest. But I want you to know the one that's greatest among you is the one that's going to be as the younger, the one that's willing to humble himself. And then he goes on with an obvious lesson. I come down from heaven. I'm here serving you. The ones that are great are the ones being served, but I am serving you. And so he's dealing with all of that kind of thing in the same chapter. I don't know just the time frame here, but he then talks to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan, he's desired to sift you as wheat. He's going to go after you. And of course, Peter says, no matter what, I'll die with you. I'll go with you. He shares with Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny that you even know me. I appreciate so much how he restored him later on in the end of John, in the Gospel of John, and confronted him three times. He denied him three times. He confronted him three times. Do you love me? Do you really love me? And on different levels he shares. And then he tells Peter, you know, it's going to be rough on you. He talked about how he's going to, the end of his life. And what's Peter do? He turns, he says, what about John? What are you going to do with John? Again, in 22, there's this strife among them, this party kind of spirit, this lack of humility that needs to come. And now he wants to compare himself. What are you going to do with John? And I think we all ought to listen to what he said to Peter. It doesn't matter if I keep him till I come. What's that to you? You follow me. Our life with the Lord Jesus is individual. Watch out for the tendency to look around and say, God's dealing with them in a different way. Why isn't he dealing? It's very personal. And so when he shares with Peter, you're going to deny me. But he says, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. He's right at the time when his own are going to walk away from him. But I do notice in chapter 22, he has a view on the future verse 30. He says, well, verse 29, I point unto you, let me back up 28. You are they which have continued with me in my temptation. And I point unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Even in your brokenness, Jesus is looking forward to what's going to be. And I guess the thing that I just wanted to convey is in the midst of our own struggles and things that need to be changed in our lives and need to become more and more like the Lord Jesus, he wants to be with us. He wants to work with us. He wants us to be with him. In Revelation 3 in the Laodicean church, which is probably an actual church, but typical of the kind of age that we're in right now, self-satisfied, neither hot nor cold. And Jesus' invitation, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. We'll fellowship together. And I guess the thing that I want to just bring before us as we come to the Lord's table, the Lord's desire, not only that he loves us, but wants to be with us. Paul prayed for that in Ephesians 3, that Christ will be at home in your heart. As I was going over some of these thoughts, I kept thinking of a song by John W. Peterson. The chorus says, to be with him will crown it all. And you think about that, to be home with him. In John 14, Jesus was comforting his own. He said, I've been with you. And he was telling them, I'm going to be taken away from you. But I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be also. We'll be together. But I'm going to send my spirit to be in you. And if you will know my word and walk with me and obey my word, I'm going to come and my Father will come and we will make our home in you. We'll be with you. It reminds me of Munger's My Heart, Christ's Home. But you know, I had to think, it'll be a wonderful thing to be home with him. In John W. Peter's song, he said, to see him, to be right home with him. But I guess the thing that the Lord wants me to share is he wants us to be with him now. He wants us to be with him now. To the Laodiceans that were self-satisfied, I want to fellowship with you. I want you to open the door and that you can be with me. So my question to my own heart, question that I would put before you, is the Lord Jesus in his presence with you a daily reality? To walk with him, to talk with him, to be with him. Jesus prayed that in John 17. Father, I want to be where they are. I want them to be with me. He wants to care about brokenness in our lives. As the song said, we need mercy. We need his daily grace. To Paul, that was struggling with the thorn, he said, my grace is sufficient. You're going to be made strong where you're weak. And so I think one of the special things to examine our hearts on, am I allowing him to be with me? Am I looking to him? Am I walking with him? Am I talking to him? I'm bringing every problem to him. That's what he wants. I just praise God that as you see a little bit going on with his disciples, it was his longing to be with them. And he loved them, and he loved them unto the end. What an amazing Savior. To come down from the glory of heaven where things are right into a world that's broken. He came to heal broken hearts. He came to set captives free. He came to touch needs in our lives. And above all, as we remember this morning, to die for us and pay for the penalty that we owe so that we can be in the family of God. Heavenly Father, as we approach the Lord's Supper again this morning, we want to appropriately remember our Lord Jesus Christ, but not only that, to live with him, to dwell with him, that he's at home in our hearts, and that he's a part of our everyday life, every day. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we get busy or when we get taken sideways on something else, for not realizing your heart to be with us continually. Help us to examine our own walk with you on that, Lord Jesus, I pray. And as we would approach the Lord's Supper, that we would honor you for your heart, for the Father's heart in sending you, and to give your life to us, and to continue to minister to us, I pray in Jesus' name.